This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with Mary Goulet. Hi, Mary Goulet.
Hello.
Richie Ote.
Hello.
Hello, Richie Ote. What's going on? And the one and only JJ Version is literally just walking in right here, right now. And this is going to be great. I'm super excited because we've got a pretty action-packed show today. And come on, this is exciting. Look, JJ's here. Hi, JJ.
It's like
welcome.
Time efficiency
this
at
is
its
time
best.
Efficiency at its best. Look, she came. She, you worked out. You had a salad.
There.
You're good to go. Drop the head. This is like a media pro. So, like, you just sink right in. You're good to go. Hi, JJ. Hello. Are we good? You got volume? Maybe that one's yours.
Good.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Welcome. I am so glad you are here.
I'm not here.
You are here, and so...
What's that right there?
That is exactly what we're going to talk about. I was going to hide that.
I brought some goodies.
You brought goodies? All right, come really close to this mic.
Do we need a trash can?
Perhaps. We'll just... your goodies and get rid of the goodies that I brought. But I was thinking, like, I was on the way here, and I was like, man, I got to get my drink. So my drink is... My
not
kids
my
got
drink.
My drink is probably not your drink, although it looks like it's from the same place, but yours looks like it's much better. Actually, the people who started the coffee bean and tea leaf, do you know that family? Are you? Because you're. Yeah, Annie, she's great.
That
love
would be
her.
A yes.
That would be a yes. Of course, yes. You know everybody. JJ Bird, you know everybody.
We all know everybody.
We all know everybody. Connected. And so I was thinking, like, you know, I'll hide it. I'll just suck it down in the car, and then I'll pretend like I'm just going to bring up like a bottle of water and kind of do that thing. I was like, no, I'm just, I gotta
be transparent.
I gotta be
authentic.
Me. I gotta be me. So this is the, what do they call this one? This is the ice blended chocolate something or another. There's no calorie. It's sugar free, 100% sugar free, and it's loaded with protein. And
really?
Vitamins and minerals, I think, is
really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So it's
that's
basically
not you.
That's not
what you get every week.
It's a bunch of BS.
Yeah,
it's
it a is
double
a bunch of BS.
No, okay. It's either that or the iced tea lemonade blended. One of those two. But either way, it's probably chock full of sugar. All right. Mm-hmm. So JJ Virgin, this is Mary Goulet. Say hello, Mary Goulet.
Hi.
And Richie Ote.
Hi,
and
hi.
We've been together doing this Reinvention Radio thing now for quite some time. So it's awesome to have you here.
And good to be here.
And you are here locally, generally speaking. You're from the.
North County.
So they don't call it burbs here, right? So, like, that's not a suburban.
You're Rancho,
I'm
right?
I'm in the ranch.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in the ranch.
And that was from. So you moved down.
I just moved into the ranch. So
from
I'm learning about
Solana,
this.
Right?
Yes.
You were in Solana Beach.
I was in Solana Beach. I kept calling it Solano. That's a.
Oh, that's not.
Isn't that the cookie? Isn't that the. That's that cookie.
Now I move in the ranch, and apparently I live in the Covenant, and it's very snotty.
Is it?
Which I find humorous.
So had you known it was snotty, would you have still moved into the Covenant? Is that like.
The thing is, no one leaves their houses except for the few that want to prance around in little, like, outfits, with the horsey outfits in town.
Right, right.
And there's nothing in town but realtors and
so why go to Rancho Santa Fe? How did you end up in Rancho Santa Fe? I mean, you could live anywhere. You could literally live anywhere in the world. I mean, you've been all over.
Well,
you've done
yes
a lot of different
no.
things.
Yes, yes and no.
Okay.
The challenge is my soon-to-be husband has one more son here in San Diego for a couple more years. I'm actually going
He only
to,
has a son for a couple more years?
Yes. And then
wow.
But no, so we have to be in San Diego for two more years, but starting in January, I am going to be a Nevada resident.
I know, and oh. For tax purposes, I am guessing,
so,
yes.
No, I'm just going to be a Nevada resident.
Just a Nevada
then
resident,
I'm going to
got
become
it.
A Florida resident, then maybe even a Puerto Rican resident. So I'm
yeah,
shifting.
Do you sense a common theme there? There's
yeah.
There's a theme.
Hasta la vista, California. Anyway, so we've got this. Here's the deal. We were in Solana Beach. We had, did you ever see the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Many times.
Okay, remember Brad?
That would be the main character? Is that the
No.
Which
Brad,
one's Brad
and Janet.
Brad and
Janet.
Oh, the ones
Janet.
That, yeah, the
no,
ones
you need to watch it again.
Yeah, it's been a few years.
Anyway, Brad was our landlord.
Oh, literally.
And my fiance was getting super passive aggressive with him, and it was just time to go. So we started looking around.
Did he start
and,
making fun of his role in the movie? That's how you know, like,
you know, this guy was so awful. He was just so awful and so anal, and it just was, you know. But we knew we had to go, and it just wasn't what I was really looking. I like to entertain and mm-hmm. have big parties. So we looked around, and there really wasn't anything down by the beach that worked, and I drive through the ranch to go to Palm Desert,
mm-hmm.
and I kept looking around there, and we found this amazing pad. We've got a bocce ball court, an outdoor living room, a swimming pool. It's awesome.
You are living the
yeah,
dream.
I love it. You described your house by describing all the outside.
Yeah. Right?
That's
yeah.
why you
I mean,
go
the inside's awesome. Great, but, you know, it's yeah. like, it's just, it's so cool. I live in California. I'm used to having a postage stamp outside, you
yeah,
know?
I mean,
it's
why
like,
would you...
I look at it, I go, oh, my gosh, I have an orchard. We have avocados, plums, apricots, apples, oranges, limes, lemons. I mean, it's crazy.
You got it all.
It's so crazy.
Self-sufficient. So let me ask you this, because people who don't understand how you got to this point of being able to live in the ranch and the covenant specifically of the ranch, which is, you know, Mary does a lot of real estate stuff, so I'm sure you can speak to
the Yeah, I've sold in the covenant and lived in the covenant.
Nice spot.
It's great.
But for those who don't understand, I mean, you weren't born.
I wasn't born in the covenant.
You weren't born in the covenant.
No, I was
you actually
not.
you had to work your way into earning a
no
spot
one gave me
in
anything.
The covenant. And you had to fight for that key, you had to grab that key, and you had to create what you have now. Take us back, though, because for those who don't really understand your backstory, as I said, I mean, you weren't handed the key to the covenant. It hasn't always been so easy. So to take us back so we
it's
can move forward
not
a little
easy.
Bit. It's
There's
still
nothing
not easy.
Easy. You know, someone asked me, like, are you scared? I'm like, every day, you mm-hmm. know? It's like, come on. It's never easy. I don't know. I was just very normal, middle-class upbringing, parents, you know, working dad, mom who had the big degree from Cal Berkeley and wasn't allowed to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still look, they go, how, that is so weird.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wanted to go leave. That was like I'm leaving here. I grew up in Berkeley. And I just wanted to get out. So I figured if I worked really hard in high school, I would get a scholarship to college. So I did. I got a scholarship to wherever I wanted to go. I was like straight A student and going to junior college at the same time and acting school and paying for all of it. And my parents wouldn't let me leave California. And at the time, I didn't know that I should have just said,
yeah, I got to go.
Where would you have wanted to go?
There's an E on this podcast. You can say it.
Well, I really wanted to go. I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to go either to Boston University or Northwestern. Now, in reality, my mother was right. She grew up in Chicago. She's like, you know, I would have freaked out.
With the weather?
With the weather. Oh, yeah. My gosh. You know, because I've been just progressively, I've lived in some strange places. Like I lived in Tokyo and Kochi, and I lived in Fort Lauderdale. I lived in North Carolina, but I pretty much kind of stayed south and warm ever
mm-hmm.
since.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I went to UCLA on a theater scholarship, and about a year in, I went, "This is the stupidest thing ever. This is just like a waste of time." I was in a really like important acting school in San Francisco
mm-hmm.
called ACT, American Conservatory Theater, and that is not what UCLA had.
So you wanted to be an actress. You wanted to go like the theater, television, film.
I just like to be perform. I actually suck at acting. I'm terrible, rotten. I just like an audience.
Yeah,
there you go. You got one right here.
I got an audience.
Three of us.
I just there wasn't like you know I didn't know about public speaking back then, so mm-hmm. that wasn't an option. So I realized that it was a stupid program. It was all the broke actors and actresses in LA that couldn't get a waitressing job. They were the ones teaching at UCLA. It was lame. It was like so – I was like going – and all they talked about was how we were going to become waiters and waitresses. And there was this restaurant called Ships that had the toasters on the tables. And that, everyone's joke was we were all going to
work at Ships. I remember that restaurant.
And I'm like, this is not my fate.
This was a thing, really? This was a thing. Okay.
It was a thing. And I remember I went to an audition at UCLA for a part as a tap dancer. And I was like getting turned down for everything because I was too tall or I didn't know someone. And I walk in and I go, I got this one. Like I was a Broadway level tap dancer. I mean, tap, like I used to teach tap, whole bit,
nice.
And get turned down on that. And I go, you know what? Like this will never work.
Mm.
Because
yeah.
this has got nothing to do with talent. Screw it. I'm gonna do something where I have some control over my destiny.
So what was that first step then? I mean, because you're obviously an entrepreneur now.
I've always been. Haven't we always been? There's no like you don't become one.
Mm-hmm.
You are one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right?
You're just hiding doing something else for a while. Maybe.
Well, I've only had one real job. I got fired. 3 months.
So obviously with the tap background and everything. I mean,
background has served me super well.
I mean,
it's obvious why I'm so successful.
You tapped your way in here.
Right? Yeah, you know.
But at the same token, you have to have some degree of athleticism to be decent at tap, and so health and fitness has always kind of been a part of your life. So did you know that you were then going to do something in the health and fitness arena? Or, I mean, because that's what, like, what is it? You know, if you find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life, or whatever the hell that expression is. But, I mean, that was kind of a thing for you, right? Is health
and fitness?
Yeah,
but there was nothing going on back then. I remember, the first yogurt store was in Berkeley. I used to go to called Yogurt Park, and we had, you know, a health food store that I would go to. My mom was raised, she's Midwestern, so we had every casserole with the Campbell soup and the, like,
yum, yum.
Onions. And
that's
stuff,
my
right?
background.
There you go, like pearl onions, and it's disgusting. Mm. So I stopped eating that when I was around 12, just flipped her out. I wouldn't eat dessert. I was like, I was teaching dance class. I was very interested in that, but I didn't realize that could be a thing, and I thought I was going to be an actress. And then I was at UCLA, and this professor insulted my – I had to take an English class, and I got insulted, and I thought, well, I should do this. It's always one of those things like, I should do this. This is really hard for me. I hate it. I'm a math person. Like, math was – I was number 5 in the state in math. Like,
wow.
The math classes I took at UCLA in engineering, I, like, didn't miss anything.
Wow,
but I
knew?
Decided to do English, which I could hardly, you know, get through. But serve me. I feel like telling that dude who told me I couldn't write now, though. You know,
right,
like,
yeah.
Look at
read
now.
The New York Times list.
Yeah, but you know, you can pay people to do that, too. So that's
there,
the other
a ghost writing thing out there.
There is that thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, but from a traditional job standpoint, like I said, you never really had a job, but you had to then try to figure out how to make ends meet.
Well,
and so,
you know what happened? I was at UCLA, and I came home one summer. I normally never came home, but I came home one summer, and I got this internship at KQED PBS, which is interesting because it's where I taped my, you know, my big first pledge drive, kind of went full circle. And I started teaching, aerobics for Richard Simmons Anatomy Asylum.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do this. All right, we're going to have to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. As we're talking to the one and only J.J. Virgin, so more with J.J. Virgin. I'm Eric Villarich. I'm Steve Olscher. We'll be right back after this.
Attention coaches, authors, speakers, and business owners. Please pay close attention to what I'm about to say if you want to secure massive visibility fast and generate thousands of highly qualified leads without spending a dime on advertising or marketing. The easiest way to make this happen is to appear as a guest on the world's most popular podcast. We recently came across an awesome resource that provides detailed contact information for 240 new media influencers who are looking for guests just like you. It's called the Ultimate Directory, and for a limited time, you can get the preview edition of the directory absolutely free. That's right, for free. It's time for you to get the visibility you and your business deserve and connect with the world's leading icons of influence who can make you famous with the push of a button. Get your free preview edition of the Ultimate Directory right now at www.myultimatedirectory.com. That's myultimatedirectory.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Olscher hanging out with Mary Goulet. Hello, Mary Goulet.
Hello.
Rich Chioche, and we are joined by the one and only J.J. Virgin. All right, so first of all, best name in the business. Like, is this like an accidental thing, or is this just this is like a God-given thing, or is this a change?
This was my ex-husband's name.
Was it really?
They were Virginies.
And
they
committed
regicide, and they had to change it to Virgin. And it sounds like it's super good until you write a book that you try to trademark and you get stopped by someone else who's got a lot more money than you.
isn't his saying, like, just screw it, do it, right? I mean, like, that's what he preaches, so I don't see why.
I'm sure that, like, you know, it's if I really, 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 but I was like, this is not the war I'm going to fight. People are like, you would win. I go, it's Richard Branson.
Yeah.
You know,
really?
I'm not winning.
Oh,
I'm not winning this one.
So, but you are able to use it in terms of the names of the books and the Virgin Diet and this, that,
well,
and the
I
other.
Had to change all my product line.
To?
Not the Virgin Diet. It doesn't
did?
Say not the Virgin Diet.
that would be good.
I'm not supposed to wear red and.
Oh, get out of here. Serious. The fucker owns the color?
Apparently.
Oh, my
How
God.
How do you trademark just a name? I get just do it. Right?
Well,
even
what he did
that's,
was
that's
he's like
phrase,
gone
yeah.
after all sorts of things. If like if you start to look up Virgin, he has so many things, health clubs and you know,
yikes.
Insurance companies, and he's built it. So much stuff around it. And I was like, great.
All right, anyway. So obviously, you've dove headfirst. I mean, you had your own TV show. By the way, how was that having your own TV show? Richie did a lot of TV and that kind of stuff. So how was it having your own TV show?
It's much better being on someone else's.
It was
awesome being on someone else's.
It's like a boat. It's better being on someone else's boat.
So yeah, exactly. Right? Or having someone else's plane.
But when you got that call, they were like, "Hey, let's do this." You must have been pretty excited, though. I mean, you had your background in acting, and you wanted to do all that. So someone said, "Hey, let's do a show."
So
that had to be pretty exciting,
deal.
No?
So I was on Dr. Phil for 2 years. That's the best way to be on a show. Be on someone else's show. Mm-hmm. Except that I worked like 30 hours a week.
It's just
like
being a guest on Dr. Phil?
I was helping run all his weight loss challenges for 2 years.
Wow.
And so I'd be on 5 or 10 minutes a week. People are like, oh, wow. They thought that you just actually just did 5 or 10 minutes. I'm like, that was like 30 hours and, all this background stuff. And all the challengers had to report to me. It was crazy. But during that time, I did a show. I did ABC's Extreme Makeover. Remember that show, ABC's?
Yeah.
And then
not the house thing, the body thing.
The body thing.
Got it.
Yeah, I think finally that just got too weird. It was always too weird, but people love weird, clearly. So then I got this call about this show called You Are What You Eat. Mm. And it's big in like 36 countries. Yep, think about that.
Chocolate.
And so I was the star of that, and it taught me a super important lesson. I ended up getting me off Phil. And I had this show, and it was going to be an ABC primetime show. And ABC apparently bought it because they didn't really want anyone else to have it, but they weren't sure about it. And then Biggest Loser came out, and they felt like there was not enough space in the market. And then it took me completely out. And I had this contract, and I couldn't do anything else. And I didn't know. I was just so excited about the whole thing. So then I just was like, hell with this. This is stupid. Like, this is a stupid hobby.
Yeah.
And then the agent who cast me for that show called me up about Freaky Eaters, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, there's people who eat like raw meat, people who just drink syrup, people weird.
It was
like Andrew Zimmern or whatever.
Zimmern.
The funky foods.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you were like, sign me up, right?
You know what's so interesting? So I did that one. There was a couple other ones I had to turn down just because they were like out in the middle of nowhere or something. Mm-hmm. And this one, by the second season, I'm like, oh my gosh, please cancel this, because I didn't have a good entertainment attorney at the time, and I ended up, I could have been sent anywhere in the country. They didn't have to fly me back, leave me there for a week in like, some residence in Kentucky, and I'd be like, great. And what's so crazy is we had like 6 million viewers for that show,
which is
like, are you kidding? But back then,
they were like, 6 million.
I'm like, going, oh. But it ended up.
Yeah.
It ended up all good. Like, I can check all those off the box. Like, they're all done.
Right?
Yeah.
But you consider yourself to be, quote-unquote, a layperson. I mean, you don't have any degrees, like, in terms of, like, from the health and nutrition standpoint. Like, you're not
I'm a PhD dropout.
You're not Dr. Virgin.
I actually have a doctoral degree. So I graduated UCLA in English and business, and then the next day I went into grad school. I went to grad school for biomechanics. I told you I love math. I didn't do any of the prereqs. I didn't tell them I didn't do the prereqs, and then I was the highest. I got the highest grades in all the classes, and then I told them, and they went, yeah, you don't need to do them. And then just as I was getting ready to finish that, I took a year off. I went to University of Miami, and I studied sports medicine. So then I did that. Then I came back and I got recruited by USC to go into their doctoral program in ex-phys and nutrition and aging. And they said, you don't need to finish. I was finishing my master's thesis in biomechanics. They go, yeah, I need to do it. I'm like, yay, because I was sick of it. And so I just jumped over there. They go, well, like, as you go through this, you'll get that too. I'm like, fine, whatever. Well, I get in there. I don't have any classes left to take. I have taken 40 graduate and doctoral courses. I've I'm out. I'm now in taking classes in the dental school because I'm spending a lot of money doing that because I'm paying for this myself. But I took this nutrition class and I went, I want to learn this. So then I sidetracked off of that over to graduate school in nutrition and graduate and then I went to four different. So I literally 40 graduate and doctoral courses. A lot of biochemistry, and then I just started doing workshops, and I started teaching workshops, and then there it is. So I have a little education on it. Triple board certified in nutrition.
But I know you speak to when you talk to others, you do talk a lot about.
But I can interpret it so that here's one of the challenges I see when people go to get all this education is they talk above everybody else. and they've actually never actually worked with people, so they can't. They tell you stuff, and I'm like, that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always with people as I was going to school, which was amazing because they were all my guinea pigs. Those
yeah.
poor people. Sorry, sorry.
But I do know that that's, you know, part of what you talk about is, you know, hey, just you don't let that piece of paper stop you from going out and doing whatever it is that you're truly fired up to do. So you've got, I mean, we could go in a number of different directions here, but I think one of the more important directions for us to go in is, you know, over the years that you've been doing this, your stance, if you will, on what you should be doing from a nutritional perspective, what you should be doing from a health perspective. I mean, it's certainly shifted and evolved and is, you know, more of an organic process, but where do you stand today? Like in terms of your seven dead, like, you know, with your dairy and your eggs and your sugar, you know, and all that stuff. Like what's your current stance on what people should and should not be doing? If you just kind of had to sum it up and this is my current thinking around nutrition and health, where is your thinking at right now?
So this actually is the same thinking that I found when I was 25 as personal trainer. It was me and Body by Jake. We were the first two personal trainers. And I remember looking back then, and most of my clients were 45 plus, and we were taught that in order to lose weight, you can probably finish the sentence, you need to eat less, exercise more, right? You had to create this calorie right. deficit. And so I was diligently doing it and it was totally not working. And I thought, I am not going to get paid. Like, no one's going to hire me to make them, you know, look worse.
Starve. And
so I was like, what's going on? So I went over to UCLA and I went into the biomed library and I started digging around. And I went, what we're being taught is not what has been historically used. This is stupid. And what's so crazy in research is you're taught only to look at the most current stuff. I'm like our physiology hasn't changed. Why can't I look back? So back then I went, well, what if what we've been being taught is all wrong? Because my professors kind of look like crap.
Yeah, right?
I remember one of my nutrition professors telling us all you needed, all the nutrition and all the protein you needed was in a potato. And I'm looking at her, and she looked like a potato. And I'm like, okay, well, you look like a potato. Like, everybody in class is lean and fit, and you are a big fatty, right? Sorry, but you – and you're telling me this. I'm not going to buy it. Not buying it. So, you know, I kind of looked at this, and I went, what if everything they're teaching us is actually wrong? And blow it all up, and let's figure this out. And so back then, I went, all right, it's not a calories game. While they do count, it's where they come from and the impact it has on your body. And that's where I said your body's not a bank account. It's a chemistry lab. That still holds true. And so it's the impact of foods. It's our different foods that you become intolerant to. That's where those seven came from. It doesn't mean someone's reacting to all seven.
Mm-hmm.
But most likely it's rare to see someone that's not having issues with at least one or two. And then, you know, we need to look at sugar very differently because we look at it all wrong. It's not about the glycemic index. Right? It's really about the impact of blood sugar and insulin and what it's telling your body to do. And it's really for each person, it's going through your own personal discovery process to figure out which foods work for you and which foods don't. Mm-hmm. Because it is the fastest way that you can change your health is mm-hmm. to change what's at the end of your fork. I mean, it's massive what it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, muscles are made in the gym, abs are made in the kitchen.
Right.
Or in my case, they're made nowhere. But and then, you know, look, you have had to deal with quite a bit over the years that have put you into this position, I think, of having the strength, emotional and obviously physical, that you have. You know, with what happened with your son, obviously that was a huge wake up for, I'm sure, you especially and for the rest of the family. But do you ever talk to him and just be like, do you mind that I tell your story so much? Like, is he, what is, because I know, like, we've got kids at home.
Mm.
And I think my kids would be horrified if, like, I was always telling their story in some way. What does Grant think of all this?
Oh, no, I could bring Grant and Bryce in here right now. They'd happily sit down and you have trouble getting Grant to shut up, to be honest. We did a TV show called Home and Family, and they go, we really want your son. I'm like, all right, well, they're all coming. Like, mm-hmm. son, ex-husband, other son, everybody's coming on in. And it was supposed to be they shoot it straight to tape. They don't edit. So it's like live. And they said, you know, you're going to have a segment. Then we're like, oh, we love this story so much. We're going to give you two segments. In the middle of the taping, they go to three segments, and then they boot the next one out and go to four segments.
So the whole show
and
Grant.
And it's all becomes the last two. They're all Grant. Grant, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, he'll keep going. You know, this could be like the endless TV show. It's interesting. Both him and Bryce are very comfortable talking about it. And Grant also, it's one of the things that I think has really helped him get through a lot of this, because one of the challenges with someone who has a severe traumatic brain injury, and when you're basically dead on the street and in a coma, you had a severe one.
Yeah.
You know, purpose is everything.
Yeah.
Maybe tell a little bit about it in the next segment for people who don't know.
For sure. So when we come back, we'll just give a brief overview of that story, and then we'll wrap up here with JJ Virgin as we are, learning just so much here about how to reinvent your health. So more with JJ Virgin here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
Much to do, not enough time to get it done? Call on the experts at Another 8 Hours for your business support needs. By partnering with Another 8 Hours, we allow you to focus on the more important matters, like being in front of your clients, doing what you do best, rather than being stuck at a desk poring over paperwork, rummaging through emails, returning phone calls, and struggling to get everything done by yourself. Meanwhile, your family and social life are going down the drain. Go to another8hours.com or call 8 more hours. That's 866-734-6877.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulsher hanging out with Mary Grelay, Richie Ote, and JJ Virgin. All right, so, these interviews go so quick, and there's so much ground that I know we would love to cover here. But I do want people to get an understanding of what happened for those who don't know the story about Grant. And I just kind of took it for granted that, that's funny, that most people do. But a lot of people don't. And so just kind of in a 30-second-ish type version of the story, he had something pretty traumatic happen to him.
When he was – so I had two boys, 15 and 16. He was 16. He was literally got mad at me and stormed out of the house and was crossing the street, and a car hit him going probably 40 miles an hour.
Jeez.
She got out of her car, gas, got in her car, and left. Mm. And a neighbor saw that part, pulled up, and blocked him off. He was airlifted to our local hospital. We get there, and the doctor says, you know, he had this torn aorta, and if it wasn't fixed in the next 24 hours, it was going to rupture.
Jesus.
But he said, you know, he's never going to survive that airlift where he needs to go to do it. We can't do it here. And even if he survived the airlift, he's not going to survive the surgery. And even if he did, he'd be so brain damaged, it wouldn't be worth it.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, like Debbie Downer. My 15-year-old math guy.
Good thing you're in the habit of not listening to people.
No, we don't listen. Right. We're not listening. I was like, we're all looking at him because he's like, he's going to die here in the next 24 hours. Logically, you'd go, well, you know. And, you know, and that's what Bryce told me later. He goes, well, that's not, you know, I'll tell you the statement, then I'll tell you what he said. He looks at the doctor. He goes, this is a 15-year-old. Yeah. This just shows you what a badass my son is. He goes, so like a 0.25% chance he'd make it. And the doc says, yeah, that sounds about right, son, like the gloom face. And he goes, well, we'll take those odds.
Nice.
Right? Yeah. Right? He goes, hey, that's not zero. Like, we're like, why wouldn't we? But
so
you know,
you're telling me there's a chance.
You know? Right. It's like, that's all we needed, like the little glimmer of hope. Although I will tell you, I kind of went outside and went, all right, what, Grant, what do you want me to do here? Because I thought, gosh, you know, you don't want to go save someone who's doomed to be, you know, have a horrible life. But I walked out and I got the fight for me, like lightning bolt. And I was like, warrior mom went into motion. And that was it. It was like, airlift them. We're overruling you. We're on. And that was it. And I just was like, you know, it in life, I think that you get what you expect, and it all comes down to the questions you ask. And I just was like, you're going to be 110%. You got to be strong, but we're going to fight for you. And I'm going to bring all my pals in. And said, so I just operated from, how do I get him to be 110%?
Yeah.
So how is he today?
He's 110%. He is better than he was before the accident.
Wow.
He really is. And awesome. It's crazy. And he's still getting better from that. I mean, we've done intrathecal stem cells. We have a local doc, a Navy SEAL doc who is, you know, a master in treating brain injuries, who's helping. And Doc Parsley, you guys should have him on. He's a badass too. But he is better than before.
Wow.
That's awesome. So, I mean, it is interesting because obviously you focus a lot about on health and so on, but health is more than just what you put into your body. It's more than just exercise. I know that a lot of how our body is a reflection of how we feel about our lives, how we are from a mental standpoint. And so you've always been pretty fortunate, but I think this is probably not just something that has kind of happened. I think this is something you've probably created, which is to have a pretty incredible community of people around you. So just talk about how you've cultivated such an amazing community, because for some people it's really hard to get those sort of relationships in place. What do you do to create such dynamic relationships? Because clearly when push came to shove, especially like with Grant and so on, you were able just to, you know, kind of get on the line with your community of folks to get some answers and some directions, some guidance that you need. So how do you do that?
You know, that was the first time I'd ever asked for anything. I had helped so many people for so long that they were just waiting. And I think people love to help. Like, I was amazed. I've always helped everybody else, but I was like, I'm not going to take anything. They actually loved it. You know what's so crazy, and I saw it with Grant when he went through the brain injury because he lost all his friends throughout the process, is social isolation, lack of connection, is now being correlated to being the equivalent to your health of smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Now, I'm an adopted kid, and, you know, I had a great mom and dad growing up, but I never feel that connection. And I think one of the things that you, like, if you read about, like, adopted kids, and this isn't like a victim thing, but we tend to have something called a primal wound where you feel like a disconnection. And so I've always wanted that, you know, that I've always built these communities. My mom was talking about how I've done this my whole life, like just built these pods of people around. And then I love to connect people up. And so it's – but I've always come from a place of helping, right? And looking at how I can connect people up, and that's really like my mindshare community of all the health entrepreneurs. It's so cool to see the amplification of the impact that that group's having now because of them all being such a tight community and helping each other. Like, the whole focus is on contribution. You know, we don't let any black holes in.
Yeah. So, Mary, I know that you've kind of changed up everything as far as your diet, right, is concerned and what you've chosen to consume. Now, how long has that been going on, and how much have you lost?
I lost 15 pounds in the first month. I started this, like, maybe 3 months ago, and I've lost a total of 22 pounds.
Wow.
I want to say something weird. I'm going to.
Yes.
Because I never do.
No.
The weird thing is, and maybe you can address this, no one's really noticed the weight. Now, I definitely lose evenly throughout my body, but I guess I just masked it somehow. But it's not like it was a stunning, wow, you lost weight. Like, Richard, you lost a bunch of weight, and it was like we saw it. We saw it in your face and everything. But for me, I think it was the menopause, cortisol, all of that.
You think?
Yeah. Freaked me out. So I went on a metabolism diet. So I was trying to balance, get my adrenals back in shape, those different systems to work again. Because my body's like, what? And it just melted off. And so I just kind of stay with it, modified.
And Richie, you've lost, what, 30? How many pounds have you lost? A lot.
I lost
40?
I was pushing fatso for a while.
I still like Big Richard, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm still a fan of Big Richard.
Richard Longford Dick?
Yeah, I like Big Richard, yes.
That was, sorry. let's see, I was like 255 and then got down. But I'm 6'3", so that was spread
out.
It
doesn't matter. You know what? I weighed 212 when I gave birth, and someone goes, but you're tall. I go, I'm not 7 feet.
Right. No, of course.
So you're 6'3", not 7 feet.
Right. You know? It still was too much, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my problem wasn't the knowledge. It was the application of the knowledge. I mean, my step-parents started—
Isn't that most people's problem?
Yeah. Right. I mean, my step-parents started OB People Food Store. My first job was Jimbo's right down the road from you. So, I mean, I've seen this my whole life. I helped him open four of his stores. Mm. Then I got in television and film, and you can eat anything you want. You've been on those.
The green room.
It's donuts on the set.
Worst environment, like 15-hour days. Oh, everyone's stressed. There's crap, those craft tables.
Yeah, and then when they're your friend and they can go buy whatever you want
to. Yeah, they'll get whatever. I was like, do not buy dark chocolate covered espresso beans and put them there. Don't, like, that's
first
just,
thing
don't
they show
that.
Up with, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then it was just applying. Applying what I knew. That was it. Mostly kind of stuff. I mean, I listen to your podcast. I love it, by the way.
Thank you.
I love your podcast. But I've found similar things that you talk about. I just looked in nature and just sprinters got badass bodies.
Yeah.
Those joggers, those marathoners, I don't want that body. I want the sprinter's body. Mm-hmm. That lion tearing the shit out of that gazelle, that's got a badass body. That elephant, I don't want that elephant. I don't want the grazing bodies. I want,
right,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So they could just look in nature. It's all around. It's all right there. Just,
yeah.
Well, and you know what I did with my diet? I ate 5 times a day. And in the past, I would eat a big breakfast, very small lunch, and then just a little bit for dinner. When I started eating 5 times a day, that was a game changer
now,
for me.
See, I totally blow that up.
Uh-oh, now what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
The lion doesn't do that, like we're saying.
No,
right?
I mean, if you're doing something initially to stabilize blood sugar and adrenals, but the challenge is when you do that, you're going to hit and get stuck again because every time you eat, you raise blood sugar. If you raise blood sugar, you raise insulin. Insulin, blood sugar moves fast, insulin moves slow. It stays up. So if you're eating five times a day, you never let insulin come back down. You actually can't access stored fat for fuel. You'll end up not being able to really burn off belly fat. And you still stay insulin resistant. So you really want to tighten up your eating, your feeding window, do a 12 to 14 hour overnight fast, little later breakfast, have lunch, have smaller dinner, lots of fluids in between, get your insulin back down so you can burn off stored fat.
All right, I will put that to work.
There you go.
I will, and I will
let
you know.
But it's all about this trifecta. It's about fat, fiber, and protein, because that's going to keep your blood sugar balanced. It's so key to do that.
Well, and Mary, you're a believer... You believe in God, mm-hmm. and just like these fruits and vegetables, like their fruits are good, but God put the antidote with the poison, right? If you don't get the fiber with that apple, you don't get the fiber with that. You don't eat seven oranges, but people will drink a big old glass of juice.
Orange juice is a soda. And you know what? Here's something super interesting to think about with fruit. Yes, orange juice is a soda. Dried fruit is candy. That's it. Mm-hmm. But... if you look at if we were really eating close to nature, eating cyclical, rotating, seasonal, local, right? We eat a lot of fruit during the summer, very little during the winter. During the summer, we have long days. We don't sleep as much. We're more insulin resistant. We've got the fructose in the fruit. We store a lot of fat so that we can live off that during the winter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't do that. We don't want to, like, store a lot of fat. Fructose makes you fat.
Yeah.
That's bottom line. So little bits of fruit, but with the fiber and the phytonutrients.
I'm not a fruit person.
Oh, man.
Are we run out of time?
We are. We always run out of time. All right, so let's do this. So, JJ, if people want more information about you, where is the best place for them to start?
I know this is going to be shocking.
Maybe JJ Virgin? Maybe?
JJVirgin.com.
And Branson does not own that, so we're good with that.
He does not own that. I'd be willing to sell it to him, though.
All right?
Right.
Yeah, no, right. And if they're going to start with one book, because you got a number of books, if they're going to start with one book, which book should they start with?
Probably The Virgin Diet. Depends what's going on,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you need your... Everyone needs their mindset tweaked, so maybe Miracle Mindset.
Right. All right. Well, there you go. Well, thank you, JJ, for coming in studio to hang out with us here on Reinvention Radio. For Mary Goulet and Rich Yote, I'm Steve Olsher. We'll talk to you guys next time here on Reinvention Radio. Take care.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com.